Take your Bible tonight and let's go to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 1, if you will. It's good to see Brother Brian with us tonight. He kind of moved back to Oklahoma, really, right? And so he's had a place, up there, and on the Texas side, Texoma, not Oklahoma, right? All right, so we won't feel too bad about him then, all right? He's on the Texas side, so that's good. And but when he's around, he comes, so that's good. And I'm always glad when he's around. It's always good to have him here, have him in service with us. All right, Philippians chapter 1, if you will, look in verse 8. The Bible said, "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." I am not any different, I don't guess, from every other pastor, because I believe every pastor is concerned about the church members that he has the privilege to work with, and we care of them. I have concerns as to what your focus, what you focus your time, your effort, and your study on, all right? So I share the statement of the Apostle Paul that's recorded there in verse 9. So if you will, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." I want that to happen. I want your knowledge level to increase, especially about spiritual things, about the things of God, the Word of God, and then what your judgment. We live in a day where people love to run and say, "Oh, judge not, judge not, judge not." But the Bible says we're to judge righteous things, all right? Judge righteous judgment. So it's necessary for you to do that, to have discernment. So I'm concerned that those things would be where they ought to be, because, hey, it makes a huge difference in your Christian life when you're diligent in seeking out those to increase your knowledge and to grow discernment. Therefore, you will be able to make good judgments, all right? It's a good thing. Don't shy away from judging, all right? Don't shy away from judging. There's things we're supposed to judge, all right? We're supposed to judge those. But tonight, I don't want to preach to you anything about that. I want to preach to you about verse 10, all right, where the Bible says that you may approve things that are excellent. Things that are excellent. There are so many things that we encounter which are anything but excellent. I mean, there are so many things that we run across. I'm not sure if we're blessed or cursed with the internet, you know? I'm not sure which one it is. I know this is becoming more and more difficult to live and to conduct business if you don't have access to the World Wide Web. Now, some of you sitting here say, "Well, I've managed it so far." Yeah, but I'll tell you, it's getting tougher and tougher in our day. You know, I don't think you can hardly get a job if you don't go online, you know. And by the way, you can make yourself look real good online. If they need a photo, you can get in there and Photoshop it, make yourself young looking. I can have a full head of hair again, you know, and you can do all kinds of things that are lies on that, okay? But the truth of the matter is, though, a lot of things you get exposed to, they're anything but excellent. They're pitiful. They're a lot of things that are imitations of what's real, and yet it becomes easy for us to be consumed with things that are not excellent. And it becomes easy for us to spend our time on things that are not excellent. But it's the excellent things in which we need to invest ourselves. In excellent things. It's the excellent things we need to study. So tonight, just for a few minutes, we'll take a look at a few excellent things. Go with me to Psalms chapter 8, the 8th Psalm, if you will. Psalms 8 there. I was deciding on these things, well, which will we start with? And I thought we couldn't start with anything better than this. Notice Psalm 8, if you will, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Oh, then if you didn't get it that time, go to the verse 9, all right? O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, all right? It is his name. The name of our Lord is an excellent, excellent name. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, it's a name that is above every name. Above every name. No other name like that of our Lord. Just not another one like it. In the Old Testament, the name Jehovah, as you read your Bible, you'll come across the name Jehovah. Especially in the Old Testament, you'll come across the word Lord, where all the letters are capitalized. Hey, there's a reason for that, all right? There is a reason for that. Those names, they stand out. They stand out above all the false gods that are mentioned in the Old Testament. It is the name of our Lord that is excellent in all the earth. Look in Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah chapter 44. There's a verse there I want you to hear. And there's several other ones real close to what this verse says and real close in other chapters of Isaiah. But Isaiah 44, verse 6, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. There is no God. It is his name, the name Jehovah, the name Lord, that reigns supreme above all other names. When we get to the New Testament, we're instructed, we're introduced to that name, to the one whom we are told in the Old Testament, his name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. And the New Testament says his name shall be called Jesus because he shall save his people from their sin. That name, Jesus, is a name above all other names. He has an excellent name, excellent name. You say, okay, preacher, all of that's good. Don't argue with me, but how does that affect us? Well, it's real important you understand. We wear that name as believers. We wear that name as believers. We were years ago, my brother and I were on a vacation, and we were in Utah, and we stopped there being inquisitive fellows. I think we were in the area of Moab, Utah, and there was a Mormon temple there. And he and I stopped. Now, they won't let us Gentiles, as they would call us, in that Mormon temple. But there was an area there we could go through, and we could get their propaganda. All right? So we went in there, and they had a book to fill out for guests and visitors. And they asked you what religion you were. And my brother and I, we put the wrong thing. Because what we wrote was Baptist. Well, truly, that's not the religion. We're Christians. We're Christians, all right? We're Christians. We wear his name as believers. Acts chapter 11, verse 26 tells us that they were first called Christians in Antioch. To be called a Christian is a great privilege. A great privilege. Look in Proverbs chapter 22, would you? Proverbs chapter 22. This business of, you know, we think about words, we think about names, we get casual about it. But, Bud, when that name Christian is an important name, we need to realize we bear that name. Proverbs 22, verse 1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. That scripture says a good name is to be chosen rather than money. How sad that many people today will sell their name for money. and take a bad name because of what they've done because of money. But how marvelous it is for you and I to have the opportunity and the privilege to wear that excellent name of Christ and be identified as a Christian. To be identified, nothing to be ashamed of. Rather, it's something to rear back and say, I'm glad. You know, I'm glad I'm a Christian. And not ashamed to wear that name. But not only do we wear that name as believers, but that name identifies us with Him. That name identifies us with Him. Now, here's the sad part. Because that name identifies us with Him, there have been some people in this old world and some people in your lifetime and mine and some recently have brought great shame on that excellent name. That excellent name. Hey, we ought to live so as to lift that name up. We ought to live that way. We ought to live to advertise it. We ought to be careful that we don't do anything that would cause reproach to be brought on that name. Now, this to me, as far as I'm concerned, is elemental. It's not difficult stuff. This is not deep stuff. It's simple truth. But hey, we bear His name. We bear His name. I'm glad to be a Mosley. All Mosleys haven't done great things. But I'm glad to be one. I've never told anybody, well, just call me Mr. Brown. Now, I will tell people my name is Fred at restaurants, fast food joints, you know. What name, Fred? You say, why? Because it's a lot easier to spell Fred. I don't want people to try to guess at the rest. I say Fred. Plus, it's just one syllable. It's easy to say. Easy to say. So I go up there and tell people, Fred. Bad thing was I was with some kids at school, and they heard me do it, so they all decided they would go by an alias, too. They were ordering, and man, they started turning in names. I go, y'all missed the whole purpose, you know. Some of them gave a name of about 14 syllables, you know. Just give them a simple name. You don't understand, all right? Hey, but what a privilege we have. We bear His name. Hey, it's an excellent name. Don't mess it up. Don't bring reproach on it. Well, I can do anything I want to. Yeah, but you remember, you're dragging my name in the mud too. Because I'm a Christian too. You're a Christian too. We ought to be aggravated when people bring reproach to that name. We ought to look at somebody like that and say, what in the world is wrong with you? What were you thinking? You're a child of God. You bear the name of Christ. And you think you can go out in public and do like that? You ought to be ashamed. Hey, but can I say this? Remember, that name's not a curse word. That name is not a curse word. It is not some kind of byword. It is a wonderful name, an excellent name. You know, if you feel inclined to say something and you've got to use a name, well, use Hitler's name, all right? But don't use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't use His name. Don't use the name of God. So, well, I lost my temper. Well, hold your tongue. If you can't hold your temper, hold your tongue, all right? You say, well, I can't. Yeah, you can. Take one hand, stick it out, and grab it. You can hold it, all right? By the way, it won't matter what you say if you're holding your tongue. Nobody will be able to understand it. Be okay, all right? Hey, I'm serious. We're talking about excellent things. The name, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. No other name like it. There'll never be another name like it. I like the song that says, what a lovely name, the name of Jesus. Reaching higher far than the brightest star. Sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven. Evermore the same. What a lovely name. Oh, it's an excellent name. Take your Bible, if we'll. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians. We're talking about some excellent things. some excellent things tonight you can get a hold of, you can grasp, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look down, if you would, in verse 31, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. This chapter is talking about spiritual gifts. Talking about spiritual gifts. There's people today get excited about that. Man, they get excited about spiritual gifts. What is your gift? What is your gift? Well, verse 31 says, covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. A more excellent way. There's nothing wrong with spiritual gifts. All right? They're important. They are important. God gifts people with different abilities, and he still does that. Now, the one they usually talk about in the most is the one that is not the best gift. All right? They make a big deal out of the gift, if you will, of tongues. All right? And but that's not the important one, okay? Not a bit. Hey, there is, though, a more excellent way than the way of emphasizing and bragging about what particular gift you may or may not have, all right? We're told in 1 Corinthians 12, not everybody has the same gifts. We're different. It compares the believer to and the church to a body. And it says everyone's not the eye, everyone's not the ear, everyone's not the foot, and all of that. But we're told, though, what we're told is we're to covet, you know, the best gifts. But there is something, you know, we can do. All may not preach from the pulpit. All may not teach. And all are not honorable. You say, what? Well, verse 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we may bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. The Bible talks about a lot of things there, all right? But we get down there to verse 31 and says, what you need to do, he said, I want to show you a more excellent way. And that more excellent way is described for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That more excellent way, and it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Hey, the Bible said that more excellent way is the way of loving people. It is the way of charity, that way of loving. That word charity there is used in our day to think usually helping other people and doing something. But truthfully, the word charity binds up within it all of that idea of helping, but also of going beyond that and loving and caring about people, all right? And the Bible said that's the much more excellent way, all right? We don't all have the gift and the ability to preach, stand in the pulpit and preach. All may not teach. I found I have a ton of kids in school that don't have the gift of knowledge. But I tell you what, everybody here can exhibit, display, and give love to others. We can all do that. You don't have to be an especially talented soul to do that. But we don't have to have, you know, all the knowledge. We don't have to understand all the Bible to just love somebody, to just love people. And the Bible says that's a more excellent way. There is so much criticism, competition, and carping among some church folks that it literally pushes lost folks away. Pushes the lost away. just the carping and the criticism that comes. Look, I am for a lot of things. I am for godly living. I'm for separation from the world. But I'll tell you this, when somebody comes in the house of God that is obviously not separated from the world, and there is nothing about them, and you can tell they know little, if anything, about godly living, and you get up close to them and you talking with them, you can tell that person still needs somebody to love them. That person still needs somebody to love them. And you and I can do that, all right? You and I can do that. By the way, every Christian is not perfect like you are. Okay, they're not all perfect the way you are. They still need somebody to love them. There's some of us that mess up occasionally. There's some of us that make mistakes. There's some of us that sin. Yeah, that happens. Okay, let's get together and criticize them. Let's get together and talk about them. Let's get together and run them out of the house of God. No, let's do our best to rejoice with them and see them brought back. See them brought back to God. See them, you know, renewed in their faith. Let's do that. Let's do that. I'll be honest with you, if you want to, you can spend your days envying people, and criticizing, finding fault, even going so far as to hate other people. But that's not the best way for you to live. Do you hear me? That is not the best way for you to live. Hey, we can envy people. Well, I don't know why they got the new car and I didn't. Okay, I can't understand it. The other day, I go out and my son and his wife, they're driving a brand new car. Bless God, why do they get that? Because they're willing to pay for it, I guess, you know. But we envy people. We envy people. Somebody maybe stands and sings in church. Well, they might can sing better than me, but. Or maybe, I can sing better than that. Well, okay, ring-a-ding-ding. I mean, hey, big deal. Look, what we need to learn to do is just learn to forgive people. We need to learn to forgive people. We need to learn to overlook faults. Everybody's not perfect the way you are, okay? There's some amongst us that are just a notch or two right below perfect. And they've got some faults. We need to learn to overlook some of that. I'm not talking about sin. I'm not talking about sin, okay? But they may not do everything just the way you do it. Sometimes there's people that come in our church that actually root for the OU Sooners. You have to overlook that fault. You just have to overlook that fault, all right? You pray for them. You love them. Hard to forgive them, but we try to, all right? Hey, look, you and I say that on purpose to be, you know, humorous. But the truth of the matter is, I'm amazed at how many people take something that's absolutely no more important than that bit of foolishness and hold it against somebody and criticize them and run them down because they figured out they're not just like me. God help us not to be that way. God help us just learn that more excellent way. More excellent way. You remember the little kid that was in school with you? They had the knack for sticking their tongue out at people. You know, and maybe making faces at folks. So what'd you think of that person? Well, that's my favorite buddy in school. Probably not. Probably not. Unless you were just like him, all right? No. Probably wasn't your best buddy. they weren't the most loved people at school. Most of us went to school with somebody that thought they were just a little bit better than everybody else. Right? You know? Just a little bit, hoity-toity, you know? Folks that just thought, man, you know, y'all are kind of beneath me. I don't know how you reacted to that. I thought it was funny. I remember being in school thinking, man, they're crazy, but that's okay. Let them keep believing that. It'll make them feel good, you know. Go on. But I tell you this, I found out something a long time ago. If you learn to love people, it'll pay a lot bigger dividends. It'll just pay so much bigger dividends. Yep, there's spiritual gifts. And by the way, if God has greatly gifted you, you better make sure you learn to love people. You better make sure you learn to love people. Because if you don't, it'll be very easy for you to get the big head and think you're better than others. Hey, it truly is a more excellent way. Excellent things, the more excellent way. Go with me if we go back to Proverbs chapter 22. You said, preacher, we were there just a few minutes ago. Well, it's good. You need the exercise of turning the pages in your Bible, all right? Proverbs chapter 22. We were in that, I think, in that very chapter, but we're going to go to a different verse, all right? Proverbs chapter 22, if you will. Look down here in verse 20. Verse 20. The writer here in Proverbs says, have not I written to thee excellent things, in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. Hey, the words of truth, excellent things, written. What are we talking about? We're talking about the Bible. Hey, this, you talk about an excellent thing. The Scriptures is one more excellent thing. It is that thing that is worthy of us spending some time. God's written some excellent things to us in His book. We should approve it. We ought to not only approve it, but we ought to prove it every day. Every day. By that I mean, hey, one thing we'll do, we ought to read and memorize the Bible. Read and memorize the Bible. Just spend some time in it, reading it, memorizing the Word of God. I've said to people all along, I think it's a marvelous goal to set to read the Bible through in a year. And that seems to be a real huge challenge to some people. But I would say this to you. I've heard a lot of different things. I've heard it said if you read 3 chapters every weekday and 5 on Sunday, you can read it through in a year. And I believe you can. But when you get to Psalms, you can get ahead. Because some of them are short, all right? So you can read and get ahead. Get to Psalms 119, you get bogged down a little bit, maybe, all right? But hey, the book's there, you can read it through. But I would strongly say this to every one of you. You say, I'm not a great reader, I don't like to read, and I struggle with reading. Bless your heart, you find one verse, you read that verse, and you meditate on that verse all day long. All day long. Then the next day, you find another verse and do the same thing with it. I'd rather you do that than read the Bible through once a month and not get anything out of it that you can hold on to, and not make it part of you. Read that book. Read it. Why? It's an excellent thing. It's an excellent thing. I have a student. If I could look him up on my phone, I could read the text he sent me. He was a student from a couple of years back out in Bible college where I teach, and he told me, he said, in this text, he said, I appreciate you as my teacher and what you taught me. And the one thing he said was about reading. About reading. And because I emphasized it to them. I said, you guys need to learn to be readers, all right? You need to make that a habit. You need to read. And he told me, he said, I don't really like to read, but I appreciate what you said. And so I wrote him back a quote from Brother Dan Allen. Brother Dan Allen was at youth camp at Silver State many years ago, and he said we ought to Live in the Bible and visit good books. Live in the Bible and visit good books. Now, there's a lot of reading that's not good. There's a lot of books that are a waste of time. And you need to be careful about it. But hey, the Bible, excellent. Excellent book. Read that book. Read that book. You say, man, that King James Bible, that old English so hard to understand. First of all, it's not old English, all right? You've been sold something. But the truth of the matter is, how hard is it for you to read? You still got your Bible open there in Proverbs? You still in chapter 22? Look at verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Tell me what it is about that you can't understand. Just tell me what it is you can't understand. There it is. Look in chapter 23, verse 12. Apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. How hard is that to understand? Well, I just can't figure out what it means. Well, get a dictionary then, all right? I mean, it's not that hard. He said, now, preacher, you know good and well all the verses are not that simple. That's right. But I'm saying to you this. The part of the Bible that I've read that's bothered me is not the part I don't understand. It's the part I do understand. It's that part I do understand. God's used that a multitude of times to nail my hide to the wall. Caused me to get right. Read it. Memorize it. Go past that. Obey it. Obey it. What it says to do, do it. It says, apply thine heart unto instruction and turn thine ears to the words of knowledge. Do what it says. Read that book. Obey it. Not only obey it, but live it. Live it. Remember what Paul said in the New Testament when he was writing and he said, ye are our epistles known and read of men. He said, you take that book and you live it and people see the truth of the Word of God. They see it in you because you've got this book in you. And then you live it. You put it on display in your daily life. You put it on display in your daily life when you get cut off in traffic. And you don't floor it and run around somebody and cut them off. And then say, how you like it, big boy? That's not living the book. That's not living it. Hey, somebody is a little bit rude to you. Well, I'll show them. Yeah, you'll show them what a Christian ought not to be. You'll bring reproach in the name of Christ. That's what you'll do. That's what you'll do. Hey, you need to take this book. You need to obey it. You need to live it. Why? Because it's one of the excellent things that you and I can get a hold of and have. I've said this before. The only thing on this earth that you can hold in your hands that is perfect is the Word of God. Now, I know some of you grandparents said, oh, that was my grandchild. I'm sorry, but junior, juniorette, or the third, fourth, fifth, or sixth, they're not perfect. They're not perfect. But this book is. Excellent thing. Man, we're to obey it. We're to live it. We're to live it. Then one last thing you need to do with that excellent thing. Spread it. Spread it. Tell people about what God says. Tell people about what God says. Hey, sometimes when you're in the situation where there's this conversation going on and everybody's kicking in something and, well, I think, and, well, I think, and, well, I think. If you want to break it up, just say, well, the Bible says. Why are you bringing that into it? Hey, that's the authority. Spread it. Spread what this says. What's so much better if you've got to say something on Facebook if you don't say, well, I think. It's so much better if you say, well, the Bible says. Now, of course, you'll get people, well, that's just your interpretation. Yeah, but read it for yourself and see what it says. All right? Hey, spread it. Spread it. With me? Some excellent things. Some excellent things. There's an excellent name. That name that's above every name. There is a more excellent way for you and I to conduct ourselves. There is an excellent book that we can get a hold of. And there's one more thing I don't want to stop before we cover tonight. Go with us to Daniel, the book of Daniel. I want you to go to chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. If there's something that ought to make us uncomfortable, I believe maybe it's right here. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. I just want you to notice what the Bible says about Daniel. Verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because he was one good-looking dude that had the gift of gab. And it doesn't say that, does it? It says he was preferred, all right? He was first, okay? And he was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. An excellent spirit was in him. One of the most outstanding characteristics of Daniel was the fact that he had an excellent spirit in him. Because that excellent spirit affected every part of his life. An excellent spirit. Yeah, but he didn't have to go through what I went through. Oh, come off it. You got to be kidding. Here's a fella as a young person, as a teenager, uprooted from his own land, carried captive hundreds of miles into a foreign land. He was made a eunuch there in that court. And you say, he didn't have it hard when I did. You got to be kidding. He had it hard. But there's no reason you and I cannot display that same kind of spirit. Because you and I, if you're saved, if you've been born again, you are blessed with the indwelling Spirit of God. The Bible said the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. Lives in you. So how am I going to have an excellent spirit? Yield to that spirit. Yield to that spirit. If I were to ask tonight, any of you ever been grumpy? If all of you didn't raise your hand, I would be suspect. I'd just be a little suspicious. You know, if I were to say to you, has anybody here never lost their temper? Hey. If I were to say that kind of thing, any of you ever smarted off to somebody else? If I were to ask that, I think most of us would go. And we could go on and on. Hey, the reason we have that problem is because we won't yield to the Holy Spirit. He is in us, but we still have this stubborn streak that says, I want to run the show. I want to do what I want to do. I'm going to be honest with you. If I did what I want to do, I'd be in prison. I'd be in prison. Because I would have slapped a lot of kids, man. I would have smacked them big time. And I'd have been accused of child abuse. And I'd have been convicted. Because I sure wanted to do it. Hey, listen. You and I have got to remember, I can't be in control. Because when I'm in control, things don't go right. Hey, when I'm in control, stuff comes out of my mouth that later on I'm ashamed of. I'm ashamed of. When I'm in control, I do things and hurt other people, not necessarily physically, but I hurt other people, and later on, I wish I hadn't done it. That's when I'm in control. That's when you're in control. But if the Holy Spirit of God who lives in you, if we'll move over and let Him move up and let Him take control in our lives, then you and I can have an excellent spirit. We can have an excellent spirit. That means we can take all that the world might throw at us and all that the world can give us, and we'd still have a marvelous testimony like that of Daniel. Hey, on that job where you work, those idiots you work with, those people that don't care what they do to you, look, if you let the Holy Spirit of God rule, you can have an excellent spirit in spite of all of that. Hey, you may have some reverses in this life. Things are not always going to go the way you want them to go. But if you'll let the Holy Spirit rule in your heart, you can have an excellent spirit through all of it. Through all of it. If you'll just give the Holy Spirit the chance to do that. Hey, I just want to ask you tonight, do you approve of these excellent things? Do you value them because of their excellence? Most importantly, can we see it in you? Can we see it in you? Can the world see it in you? Now, the world wouldn't know what to say. But can they see it in you? Is it apparent? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come tonight, we've looked at just four things that are excellent. They're excellent things. Lord, your name, it is an excellent name. And Lord, what a privilege we've got to bear that name as a Christian. Lord, there's an excellent way that we can live.